Shiva.
No one knows how to turn on the air conditioning here, right? What? Anybody know how to turn on the air conditioning? We're just going to suffer here? Okay, we'll suffer. I want to discuss, again, this. I'm going to, at least till, I don't think that works. At least till the Yom Noraim, we'll discuss the Yom Noraim, what I'll discussed after that, I haven't decided yet. But at least until the Yom Noraim, we'll have a series of shirim or sichot on topics that relate to Yom Noraim. And what I want to do today is give an introductory sicha or shir to deal with the concept of tshuva. There's a very, very basic argument brought down in Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman is usually famous for Kovetz Shiurim, which is a Lamedish Sefer. He also wrote a Sefer called Kovetz Ha'aros, which is also Lamedish. But there's also another Sefer called Kovetz Ma'amarim. And Kovetz Ma'amarim is a section of Hashkafa, philosophical discussions. And one of the Ma'amarim discusses the concept of tshuva. And in that Maimer, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asks the following question. Do we view tshuva as being something which is midas hadin? That if somebody really honestly repents, then he deserves to be forgiven. And the idea of tshuva is by virtue of midas hadin. Or perhaps tshuva only exists based on midas harachamin. Because if you did something terrible, you can't possibly undo it. And therefore, the way that tshuva works could only work through the process of midas harachamim. What do you think? Din harachamim? How many dins do we have? None. How many rachamims do we have? You're such a non-committal group. Okay, fine. A few hands for din. You're a rachamim?
I think maybe din also.
You're a din guy?
I feel like tshuva is built into the system.
Okay. So you say, so how many dins do we have? Oh, a few dins. How many rachamims do we have? Okay, teku. Okay. What? Okay, since Shemus has both. Rabbi Chanan asked the question. All right. The reason to say that it's a din is because we find that it works also in the other direction. If somebody was a tzaddik kol yamav, and then in the end he regrets all those maisim tovim that he did, so the Rambam writes, all those maisim tovim mitzvos won't help him be omosa. So if it can work the other way around as well, then ostensibly it can't be midas rachim. It must be that that's simply justice, that you have an ability to regret and to go back on things that you did, and that might work. How it works, I don't know, but that might work, because it works in both directions. On the other hand, he brings a number of sources that claim that the concept of tshuva really is based on rachamim. And he has a whole discussion. I don't recall right now what his conclusion is. But I want to discuss the question in broader terms. And I want to begin with this coming week's parsha. And the parsha begins with Ki teitzei l'malchama aleivecha v'sarach shem elokecha ra'ita b'shevya eshet yifatoar. The whole idea of eshet yifatoar. Eshet Yifatoar is a situation where you go to battle, a soldier who's far away from home, who's very, very lonely, who feels very, very vulnerable, who's seen death all around him, who feels, you know, in a very, very intense and profound way, his finitude, all of a sudden sees a beautiful woman, and in his vulnerable state, he, you know, his passions are aroused, and he feels that he needs companionship, he needs company. I'm describing it in a very, very romantic way. I mean, it can just be somebody that, you know, takes a hostage and prisoner, but we'll take the romantic way. It's a nicer version of it. And the Torah says, you know, you can do it, but you have to do these things. These are the rules, right? She has to cut her nails, cut her hair. She has to wait a month. There are a whole. She has to mourn her parents. There are a whole list of rules. The Gemara in Kedushin, quoted by Rashi, makes the following cut. Lo dibra Torah elokin neged yetzahara. The simple understanding of lo dibra Torah elokin neged yetzahara is as follows: that really you should not be allowed to have any relationships with this woman, who, by the way, is not Jewish, and the whole process of conversion might be imposed and forced upon her. And usually, if somebody goes through a process of conversion, it has to be by free will and by choice. And here, she's not given any choice. And it would be better had this soldier simply controlled his passions and forgotten about this particular woman. But since we know that he probably won't, and we prefer that he does things in ways that are legitimate as opposed to violating basic halachas and principles and rules, therefore we're going to give a certain way in which it's legitimate. But we would prefer a situation where he would simply not have any relations with this woman at all. That would be our preference. But lo dibra Torah elokin neged yetzahara, Torah succumbs to the yetzahara and allows for this the soldier to through some process to marry this captive woman. Yes. Who said we don't? Who said we don't? What? I mean, first of all, why don't we just say that you should always give into your passion, then you should never do what the Torah wants, because people have difficult, right? Obviously, you're dealing with a unique situation, right? If we say, oh, you know what? Sometimes people really, really want to eat chazer. There's this cheeseburger, and they're really, really hungry, so let's allow it. Now, what you should do first is you should wash your hands 10 times on each hand, walk around the block 3 times, and then eat a cheeseburger. Like, why don't we say that? Make sense to you? It does? Doesn't make sense to me. Right? Obviously, you're dealing with very, very extreme situations, and it seems to be an exception to the rule rather than the rule. And in those unique situations where we feel that normative man, who normally is Shomer Halacha, will fail, there and only there do we make for allowances. Normally, we expect people to control their taivas and to not eat the cheeseburger. I don't think I'm a hero, but I've never eaten a cheeseburger. I've never even wanted to eat a cheeseburger. And I don't think I'm so heroic, but somehow, the halacha that Asr is a cheeseburger, works for me. It never really forced me to do that. So I don't think that we have to extend it. I think what we have to do is see the situation of Eishes Tirfas Tor as exceptional, as something which is unique, something which is not normative. And in this particular situation, Lo dibra Torah ella keneged yetzer hara. But normally, what do we say? Normally, we say, these are makos asiros, and this is what you can do, and this is what you can't do, and these are our arayos, and these women are asir, and these women are mutter, and normally you have halacha which works in a normative way. Yes?
So, just like a sort of parallel case to this, that actually Rosh Shiver spoke to Mashiach about, I don't remember what it was last week, but he said that this happened.
Well, it couldn't have been 2 weeks ago. That's a good guess. It was last week.
There was a case where a woman converted to Judaism and she fell in love with a guy who was not really such a religious Jew, but she brought him more into Judaism.
Cohen! Yeah. And he was a Cohen. We're not going to talk.
What?
No, absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. Okay. You find other terrible such situations, but no, it's not that in every situation where, there are certain cases. It is broader than just that particular case. For instance, some Rishonim say, this week's parsha, Shoftim, Som Tasem Alecha Melech, right? The parsha in Shmuel has a very, very negative attitude to the people when they ask for a Melech. So a lot of the Mepharshim deal with this contradiction between Sefer Shmuel and Parsha Shoftim. And one of the solutions, the very famous solution of the Barbanel, who happened to be a minister, for monarchs, and he knew how terrible a monarchy was, and he understood very, very clearly how power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He said that Melech and Som Tassom Alech Melech is a case, another case, of Lo Dibra Torah El Kanegi Yitzhara. You should not want a Melech. A Melech is not a very good way to run a government. Certainly, when you look at it from a religious perspective, when we should be worshipping God. Right? But nevertheless, we understand the need of a people to have a leader, a political leader. And Lo Dibra Torah El Kanegi Yitzhara. And therefore the whole idea of Som Tassom Alech HaMelech is not something that you should do. It's not something that's preferable, but it's something that we allow you to do because of human frailty. Very interesting about Abarbanel.
When was the last time you ate meat?
Lunch,
right? How was it? Right?
There are some opinions. This goes back to Parshas Re'eh. It says, when you're far away from, when you go into Israel and you're far away from the, if you don't fill that thing out, I'm going to be into trouble. I'm going to trouble. My Rishim are going to yell at me. So just fill out. Okay? When you're far away, when you go into Israel, in the Midbar, they were around the Mishkan, right? The whole community, all 600,000, lived around the Mishkan. In the Midbar, according to most opinions, when you want to eat meat, you know what you do? You go into the Mishkan, you bring a carbon shlamim, part of it goes on the Mizbeach, part of it goes to the Kohanim, and part of it you eat. That's what you do when you want to eat, a steak. On the other hand, when you go into Israel and you're far away from the Mishkan, so we can no longer demand that from you. So we have to make an allowance because, according to some opinions, the Rashbah, the Ramban, Lo Dimatola El Kadeh Yitzhara. We can't expect people every time they want to eat meat to go to the Beis HaMikdash and to bring a Korban Shlamim. And once the Beis HaMikdash is built, a Bama is no longer allowed. And therefore, the only way that you'll be able to allowed to eat meat is by going up to the Beis HaMikdash and bringing a Korban Shlamim. That's a demand that we can't expect from frail human beings. So Lo Dibra Torah Elo Kinyagin Yitzhara. And as a matter of fact, the Gemara, when it talks about Eishes Yifas Torah, when it talks about the fact that we make allowances for human frailty, the Gemara says, Mutav Sheyachal Basart Mutav Mashayachal Level. In other words, the example that it gives is the example of meat. Because people are going to eat meat anyway. So you know what? It's better that we tell you, this is the way you should do it. You should shecht it, you should kosher it, you shouldn't eat it together with milk. There are certain laws. But it's better that you do it in that way than simply have people violating and giving it into the human frailties. Yes, sir.
So, first of all, what is gained by, if there's no reason to, so it sounds like you're saying that there's no reason for these halakhos other than we want regulation. Because if it's something that people are going to do anyway, and the Torah seems not to have a problem with people doing it anyway, except that we want to regulate it because what if that's a loss of money?
Okay, again, I wrote a whole article about this, so I'm not going to go into that particular case. Let's take the case of meat. In other words, the let's assume, right, that eating meat is justified within the context of elevating yourself in a sense of kedusha, bringing it as a carbon. So it could be the process of shechita is a way of doing that in some limited way outside the mikdash. You do shechita, you make a bracha on it, there are certain regulations which might bring the eating of the meat to a certain elevated sense. But I don't want to discuss that issue. I just want to talk about the concept of Lo Dibra Torah El Kanegi Yitzhara, which seems to be an exception to the rule. In other words, there are certain cases in general we demand. The Torah demands that man control himself, control his passion, control his yetzer. And there might be certain cases where we feel that it might be too hard, and therefore, even though objectively we think it might be more moral, a better position religiously, for the soldier to say, listen, this woman should be left alone, she's a captive, I shouldn't be taking advantage of her in such a situation. It's a religious problem because she doesn't voluntarily become a convert. It's an ethical problem because basically we're taking away her free will, but nevertheless, the Torah understands human nature, the Torah understands human psychology, and it understands that there might be certain situations whereby it might be necessary to give some kind of avenue where it's allowed, and maybe if that avenue is a little bit, if that road is a little bit too long and winding, maybe he'll give up in the middle. Yes?
Are there any other cases in which the Torah allows for a little bit of leeway?
I gave already three. I have to give all of them? Remember, I get back to Tshuva, right? There's another case where the Medrash says, Lo Dibra Torah El Kenegi Yetzirahara. Yeah. Yes? What? Your hand is up, huh?
Yes. If we truly believe in the spirit
of what does that mean, if we truly believe?
I'm assuming that we do believe.
Okay, yeah, that's better. That's better. Good.
We do believe in our way of not believing in our way of not having our way that the Torah is something that's capable of being believed. So as far as we hold the standard for it, then why would we say that God effectively gives up on us and says, I know that you can't do it?
Good question. All right. Yeah.
I think Matthew answered his own question because Hashem only asked.
Who's Matthew?
The guy who just said,
oh, you answered your own question. See?
Because Hashem never asked something which is too much of our free will, and like, he set the standard for us which we should be able to fully. He's designed us in such a way. So if he's designed us in such a way and he knows us that we wouldn't be able to fill this list, but that's why he's given us.
Free will is not, you know, absolute. It's not that man can do everything. Right, man has certain pressures and certain tensions, and we're not perfect. Man is not perfect. That's a big chiddush. I just said it. I know it, but man is not perfect. Let me move on a little bit because we're never going to get to the end of this. There's a medrash on the pasuk of freeing an eved that after 7 years you have to free your eved, and you give him what's called a ma'anak. You give him a present when you free him. And the Torah goes out of its way to explain why you give this ma'anak, why you give this present when you free him. And it says, basically, he worked for you for 7 years, and therefore, basically, you should be giving to him. You should realize that he deserves it. And the Torah is trying to convince us why you should give him this schar sachir. The Medrash says, "Lo dibra Torah ela kenegi yetzer hara." Now, here it's not succumbing to human frailty, but it's giving a reason for people to overcome their human frailty. So, it seems to me that the statement "Lo dibra Torah ela kenegi yetzer hara" does not mean that there are certain situations where the Torah succumbs to human frailty and gives up on man and his ability to have free choice. Because if that were true, it would be totally inapplicable to that particular case. Moreover, the term "Lo dibra Torah ela kenegid yetzer hara" does not sound like it's a local statement. It sounds like it's a very, very universal statement. The entire Torah speaks kenegid yetzer hara. Now, that's before we understood it as being very, very local. It applies in one place, two places, a third place, and then we found a fourth place by freeing the Eved. But Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzirah sounds like the Torah always talks Keneged Yetzirah. And I would like to understand what that might mean. And I think that, in my mind, it creates an association with another statement of Chazal, Lo Dibra Torah Ela B'Lashon Bnei Adam. Right? Now, what do these two statements have in common? First, I'll tell you what Lo Dibra Torah B'Lashon Bnei Adam means. Like when it says, Ki Yidar Neder, Nazir Lahazir, you have a certain a kfilut, you have a dualism in the pasuk, and one of the statements seem unnecessary. So you have a machokas among the Tanaim. Do you make a drasha or don't you make a drasha? Does every single word have to darshan every single word? And if it says nazir lahazir, then there's another drasha to make. Or do you say, no, Lo dibur Torah, lo blasha bnei adam. People speak like that. When people talk, you can't make a drush on every single word that they say. And therefore, if the Torah is speaking in the language of man, you should expect certain words that are unnecessary. Because that's the language that's being used. So lo dibur Torah, el blasha bnei adam seems like a machlokes. But in truth, if one would take a look at the Maran Avuchim, the Maran Avuchim says the machlokes is only regarding dealing with dualisms. Do you darshan it or don't you darshan it? But the idea of lo dibur Torah el b'loshon bnei adam is universally accepted. And the Rambam uses this to explain why you have what's called anthropomorphisms in the Torah. Why you have, it says Yad Hashem, does Hashem have a Yad? Rambam says one of the basic tenets of faith is that God has no body. So how could it say Yad Hashem? How could it say Espelokimi? How could it say Vayar? How could it say how could it say anything that seems to indicate that God has some kind of a body? And the answer that the Rambam gives in Maran Avuchim is Lo Dibur Torah Ela Kelashon Bnei Adam. Torah uses a language in order to allow man to understand what the Torah is saying. The machlokes is whether you apply that concept to extra words. But that the Torah speaks Lashon Bnei Adam is universally accepted. How far will we take it? Can we darshan Nazir Lahazir or can we darshan Nazir Lahazir? But clearly the Torah was written the Lashon Bnei Adam. That's what the Rambam says in Maran Avuchim. Basically what you have here is Chazal dealing with what I call Divur HaTorah. The Divur HaTorah, the language of the Torah. Lo Dibra Torah, Ela Keneg Yetzara. Lo Dibra Torah, Ela B'lasha Mnei Adam. What is the Divur of the Torah? In order to understand what the Divur of the Torah is, I'll quote a Medrash, which you might all know, but I think which is very, very graphically describes the issue that I want to present. What the Gemara here is discussing is the Aseres HaDibros, right? The Aseres HaDibros, as opposed to what? The Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments is bad. That's not what we're talking about. It's not Ten Commandments. If one would count how many mitzvahs you have in the Aseres HaDibros, you will not get to ten. Right? It's not the Ten Commandments. Right? Kavod Shal Charleston Heston Makom Unach. It's not Ten Commandments. It's Aseres, what? It's Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros. Right? And again, the word is Dibros. Right? It says Vaidaber Hashem, it's called Hadvarim Ha'ele, it's called the Torah refers to it as Dvarim, as Dibros. Right? It's ten speeches that God gave. Ten statements. Right? And the Gemara describes, creates a scenario that happened. Of course, happened historically, but happened in the mind of Chazal. This is what Chazal are describing when talking about Aseres HaDibros. This is what's happening. You know, religiously, this is what's happening. There's certain thing that there's certain something is going on here that's revolutionary. And Chazal, in their way, try to create a story that describes this revolutionary event. Okay, so first of all, you know that I'm a kofar. I don't take this agadah seriously. Okay, that's first of all. But now let's see what that agadah says. I don't take it historically. I take it very seriously. It's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, B'shah sha'ala Moshe l'maron, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens, Amru malachei asharis lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The heavenly angel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, mal yiludi isha b'neinu. What is a son of a woman doing amongst us? Am lehem lekabel Torah ba? Amru lefanav chamuda gnuza shegnuza lecha tshameos tshivim v'arba doros kodem shenivra olam. This wonderful treasure that was hidden, that was placed in a hiding place. How many generations? Shama os v'shivim v'arba doros. Kodem shenivra ha'olam. Atama v'akesh litna l'basa v'dam. You want to give this to man of flesh and blood? Ma enosh ki tizkarenu. U'ben adam ki tifkedenu. Hashem adoneinu ma'adir shimcha b'chol ha'aretz. Asher tzna utchal shamayim. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. Hachzer lehem tshuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't answer the angels. He told Moshe to answer the angels. Amalo fanav. So Moshe told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shalom, mesyare ani. I'm afraid. Shema yisrafuni behevel shebefiem. They might burn me with the wind that comes out of their mouths. Amalo echoz bekisi kvodi. The chazal hem tshuva. Hold on to the kisi akavod and give and respond. Shneemar brings a pasuk. Amar lefanav. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, Torah shata nosein li maksiv bo. What does it say in the Torah? So Hashem answered, Anochi Hashem lokecha asher hoceicha me'aretz Mitzrayim. Amar lehen, he turned to the angels. The Mitzrayim yaradatem. The parush tabaritem, Torah lamatei lachem, shuv maksiva, lo yelcha elohim achirim, bein ha'amim atem shuyim, are you amongst the goyim, sha'ovdim avodas gilulim, shuv maksiva, do you need it? Do you need this iser not to worship avodah zarah? Shuv maksiva zechoras yom ha'shabbos lekadsho, do you do work during the days of the week? Klum atem osim melacha, shetem tzrichim shavus, Shuv maksiba, lotisa. You're not allowed to swear for sheker. Do you do business that you have to take a shavua in a court? The sheker. Shuv maksiba, kabri savicha vesimecha. Do you have father? Do you have mother? Lotirtzach, lotirtzach. It goes through all the aseres hadibros. Lotirtzach, lotinaf, lotignov. Kina yesh b'neichem, yitzahara yesh b'neichem. Miyad, hodulo, lakaraz baruchu. They admitted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right, giving the Torah to man, and the Gadita continues. What are Chazal trying to say? What Chazal is describing, the unbridgeable gap between Torah's Hashem, the infinite word of God, and human reality. The Torah that was written, Istakel Baraisu Bara Alma. Torah is Dvar Hashem, and therefore by its very nature it's infinite. How many hundreds of generations before Briyas HaOlam? I forgot. What?
974.
Why 974? What? Because there were 26 generations till? Matan Torah. So it's 1,000 generations till Matan Torah. So 974 before Briyas HaOlam, right? Okay, so a lot before Briyas HaOlam, and the Torah is something which is the infinite word of God, and it's being given to man. It's coming into the human reality, the finite human reality. It seems to be an unbridgeable gap. The Gemara in Sukkah says, God never descended lower than Asar Tfachim, and man never went above Asar Tfachim. And they ask, what about Matan Torah? It says, Vayered Asher El Hasina. It says, yeah, but above Asar Tfachim. It says, Vayal Moshe. Yes, but under Asar Tfachim. In other words, no matter how high up Moshe goes, and no matter how low down HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes, there's a gap that can't be bridged between Torah Hashem, the infinite word of God, and finite human existence. But somehow, at Har Sinai, that gap is bridged. And how is that gap bridged? And the answer is through Dibur. What is Dibur? Dibur is communication. Dibur is the way that the infinite word of God is translated into a language that can be understood to the human ear. Dibur is communication. Aseres HaDibros that are able to be translated into a language that man can understand. Lo Dibra Torah Ela B'Lashon B'nei Adam. The Dibur of the Torah is B'Lashon B'nei Adam. Torah on one level, the Ramban in his Hakdama to the Torah says that Torah might be just a tziruf of Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The breakup into words, the way we know it. Now that's the Torah that we got. Because the Torah that we got, you know, the Torah in its objective sense that exists before the creation of the world might be the essence of what God is. It's Devar Hashem. It's His message. We can't understand it. But when we get it, it's broken into human words. Bereishis bara Elokim. It's not just Shemos Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's human words. Bereishis bara Elokim es haShamayim ves haAretz. Because Torah goes from being Shemos Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu to being words that can be consumed by the human ear. I understand that as being what Chazal are describing as Dibur HaTorah, the speech of the Torah. The Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros is bridging that infinite gap. It's taking Torah's Hashem and putting it into words that are accessible to the human ear. And therefore the idea of Dibra Torah B'Lashon B'nei Adam is the Dibur of the Torah has to be made in a way that's suitable for human understanding. What we discussed at the beginning was the idea of Lo Dibra Torah Ella Keneged Yetzirah. And the way I understand Lo Dibra Torah Ella Keneged Yetzirah is that there might be certain unique parshios where this idea is maybe expressed in a unique way. But Lo Dibra Torah Ella Keneged Yetzirah is in general regarding the entire corpus of the Torah. The Torah was given through Dibur to finite, frail man. And therefore it has to be adaptable to the human condition. Chazal say that Bereishis bara Elokim es haShamayim ves haAretz, that the world was created, the Midas Hadin, Elokim, and in Perek Sheni it says, B'yom ra Hashem Elokim eretz haShamayim, ra she'ein ha'olam miskayim, Sirefimo midas rachamim. In other words, if you want to give Torah to man, if you want to create a world that has a man in it, who has Bechira Chafshis, he's created Vayitzer Elokim Esa Adam. Vayitzer, the Pasuk is written with two yuds. Rashi comments based on the Medrash, he was created with Yetzer Tov as well as with Yetzer Hara. If you want such a world to be able to exist, then you have to add rachamim as well. Otherwise that world can't exist. Kol ha'adam kozev. Man eventually will fail. If you don't give man a way out, that man will self-destruct. That world will self-destruct. In other words, the idea of lo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzer hara, there might be certain parshas in which it expresses itself in a very, very powerful way. But to a certain extent, it's typical of the entire Torah. The entire Torah is a blueprint to help man redeem himself. Not only places where it understands human weakness and makes exception for human weakness, but also places where it tries to help man redeem his human weakness and to overcome it. That's also Dibra Torah El Keneged Yetzer Hara. We're supposed to control our desires because of dinim of arayos. And therefore there are some that we cannot have relations with. And there are others that we can. that might be a way in which we control our desires. If there are certain things that we can eat and certain things that we can't eat, and those things that we can eat are only in a certain way. But that's a blueprint that allows us to control our desires. And through controlling our desires, we're able to elevate the acts, both of sexuality as well as eating, into religious acts, into acts of commitment, acts of kedusha, when it's done within the context of marriage. And therefore, marriage is called kedusha, and it's brought down in Sefer Kedusha, and right after Yisrael Bia, you have Hilchos Machalos Asuros in Sefer Kedusha. Because if you want man to be able to redeem himself and to elevate himself above animal existence, then even though you have to admit that man will allow man to eat, but by having man control his desires, man is able to elevate himself. His passions, his desires, when it comes to business, there are things he has to be careful about, in all areas of human existence. The Torah is a blueprint that allows man to elevate himself. And the idea of lo dibra Torah ela kenegi yetzahara is not succumbing to the yetzahara, but that the Torah is aware of human reality. It's aware of the human condition. It's aware of human weaknesses. It's aware of human frailties. And therefore, the Torah is given to people who are weak. The Malachi Asharas that they couldn't understand it. Why should the Torah, which is the infinite world of God, which is pure and untarnished, absolute truth, how can you give that to man with all his frailties and weaknesses? And the answer is that, yes, the Torah on one plane exists in its pure, true sense, but that Torah was given to man through the concept of Dibor, which translates it into a way that is relevant to the human condition. That's the idea of Dibor HaTorah. Aseres HaDibros, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Kenegi Yitzahara, Lo Dibra Torah Ela V'lasham Re'ad. If we go back to the original question, the question of Tshuva, and we ask ourselves again, you know, whether Tshuva is Midas HaDin or Midas Rachamim, I think, I don't remember who said it, but I think the answer is that you might grant that, yes, it's Midas Rachamim. But it's Midas Rachamim that's necessary for the existence of the world. The world can't exist on the basis of Midas Adin. It's a Midas Rachamim that we can demand from the Torah, that we can demand from God. Because without that, we have no way to rectify things that we did wrong, and ultimately we will fail. The idea of tshuva is that man who fails is able to once again get up and redeem himself. If there be no way to redeem himself, if there's no way to undo what you did, then the tendency is to deteriorate. If I can't make it better, so I blew it. And then you sink lower and lower. The ability to redeem yourself and to elevate yourself from those depths of sin is something that might be rachamim, but it's rachamim which must exist, which we can demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this world is to run with man, created with two yuds, Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, with man that was given Bechira Chavshis, which means he has the ability to create, but also the ability to destroy. Which man who is full of passions and full of jealousies, in such a situation, right, just take a look at Adam HaRishon. How long did it take for him to sin? Cain and Hevel, how long did it take for them to sin? Dor HaMabul, etc., etc. Sin is part of the human condition. Failing is part of human reality. And therefore, the opportunity for tshuva, which, by the way, is not limited to Judaism, it applies to Nineveh, it applies to Cain, it applies to Adam, it's universal. The opportunity of tshuva is an opportunity given to man. Because man is weak, man is frail,
Men has jealousies and passions. Men ultimately will fail.
And therefore, the idea and the concept of tshuva, to allow man to somehow rectify what he did that was wrong, even though it's impossible to undo what was done, that opportunity is something which allows the world to exist and allows the world to be able to uplift itself from reality of sin and destruction.
And therefore the idea of tshuva, at least on this level,
is something which is necessary for the existence of the world, for the existence of man. It's a chesed, it's rachamim, because if somebody chasham killed somebody, you can never make him live again. Those things can't be changed. But nevertheless, even, no matter what man does,
Sharei Tshuva and Rebelak. I'm not going to get right now to those things where the Rambam says that you're limited. In general, Shari Tshuva are not locked.
Man can always come back. If he's sincere. If he's honest with himself. If he really plans on making a change. Man can come back. And we're now at the beginning of Elul.
We're at the beginning of a new start in terms of our lives. We're starting something new. It's yeshiva. It's very, very exciting.
I spoke to Rav Yehuda Gilad last Tuesday.
Came over to my house, Rosh Yeshiva Ma'al Gavoa. I asked him how the new year is starting, and he said,
"People say kolat chot kashot. You know, all the beginnings are difficult. And the truth is, the kolat chot, that's the nicest part of the year. People come and they're excited and they want to learn." And I think he said exactly what I felt.
The year started beautifully, and people come with a lot of energy and really wanting to learn, and Baruch Hashem are going well,
and it's the beginning of a new start. It's a new Elul, and we have to look back on who we are, what we are, where we're going. There's a time that we have to think about what we've done in the past, where we want to go in the future. It's a time for Hirhuei Tshuva. It's a time for Tshuva. It's a time for preparing ourselves for the Yom Ha'arayim, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And part of what we have to do is to do Cheshbon HaNefesh, see who we are, and what we want to be. And try to do the things that push us in that direction. And what we learned today is that no matter what we did in the past, it's really possible to move in that direction, to move forward, to pick ourselves up from wherever we are. It's not easy. It takes a lot of inner strength, but it could be done. Okay, Rabosai.
How does that relate to man's prayer initially?
Because man, well, I'm praying.